Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
As innovation and technology rapidly evolve, there's no place better to be on the leading edge than at the Department of Defense. There are thousands of unique and diverse non-uniformed opportunities for DoD civilians, opportunities you can't find anywhere else. From cyber to AI, engineering to logistics, aircraft maintenance to shipbuilding and more. Level up your career in the face of evolving challenges as you become a force of change. Discover your future at the Department of Defense. Learn more at DoDCivilianCareers.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down. I'm your host, Jimmy Skinner. With me, as usual, Garrett Johnson. What's up, brother?
What's going on?
Back Not much, man. Week. Yep. Another great show. Talk about some tournaments while me and you get ready for a tournament. I'm starting to get fired up, even though I have like all the reasons to not be fired up about it. We got, for anybody that's not paying attention to the season, the first Bassmaster Kayak Series events coming up. We've got the Lake Gunnersville Stop. 2 days for that one. Garrett signed up for that one. I decided to put that money towards my daughter's extremely expensive karate, whatever.
Yeah, so she can beat you up later.
Yeah, with weapons, apparently. Apparently, I just paid for all sorts of sparring gear and weapons training for a 12-year-old. I was like, fantastic. And jiu-jitsu. So, Jesus Christ. But, so, fishing. I'm fishing a local club event that's down there. NACA and TVKA will be down there at the same time. We'll double dip. But we've got like excellent weather right now, and it ends tomorrow, and then it sucks for the next 2 days.
It's not terrible, but it could be better for sure.
Thunderstorms and like 3 inches of predicted rain.
Yeah.
And then
it's definitely going to shake up a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to suck. I would love to start a tournament one morning and not have to wear my rain gear and, you know, it not be freezing outside.
I think during the tournament you won't have to, but it'll be cold.
I hope not. Sure. But I think I'm taking off tomorrow. I think I'm going down there. I gotta go buy some material for a job in the morning, but I do believe that the kayak and all my gear is going with me to do that. And then I'm going at least to get on the water in the good weather and look around again.
Come out with all 300 people or whatever's gonna be out there this weekend, so that'll be fun.
I'm curious to go down there and just see how many people's pre-fishing right now, because I'm sure it's
probably 100 or 150 or so.
There were a bunch of people Sunday, like a bunch of people. So
but anyways,
it's a big lake, so
yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, well, so
in the meantime,
We got
Lake Murray to talk about.
And I don't know anything about this lake, like including, like, I knew where it was. I had to like double take on that to make sure.
But like 5 minutes ago.
This is just not one that's ever been on my radar, even though it fishes really, really well.
You should put it on your radar.
Man, my radar's fucking packed, dude. I got too many.
Kind of an interesting lake from what I was looking at. It looks kind of like, it looks like it should be a lowland reservoir, but it's like almost 200 foot deep by the dam.
So Jesus.
And it's only at like 300 elevation or something like that.
So that's why it's not on my radar. That's just not, I can't fish that stuff.
But
I think I've been to one Highland Reservoir, and it's Del Hollow, and Del Hollow can.
But I don't know if it fishes like a Highland. We'll talk to these guys about it
here. Yeah, no, these dudes we've got on are definitely the experts. The event was the KBF, their second stop. They went straight from Florida up here. Another one of their, you know, their style 2-day events for anybody that maybe just be new to keeping up with all this. Where most of your national trails run a 2-day consecutive combination tournament. KBF does 2 individual days, a Saturday and Sunday tournament that are separate, and you can pay in and do a what they are now calling a double up. So it's basically a 2-day tournament as well. So without any further ado, we'll bring in the day one winner and the double up winner, Casey Reed, and the day two winner, Ryan Matlowit. Matt, say your last name.
Matlowitch.
Oh, wow, I was way off. Sorry, butchered.
Yeah, I'm going to put you back in grammar school or something.
I'm from Alabama. That's not even worth the time. It wouldn't matter. Well, what's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. How are you?
Man, we making it. Everybody get back from the...
Yeah, from man, the, just hanging out.
Heck yeah. Everybody get back from the Carolinas okay?
Yep, I came back from South Carolina, drove almost halfway, stayed in a hotel back to Pennsylvania where I'm from, and then woke up this morning and shoveled 85 sidewalks for a bunch of old people.
Oh, well, gotta get back right back to it.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun.
That's one thing I can say as a Southern guy. I've never had to shovel a sidewalk before, so I don't know how fun or not fun that is.
No, it's not great.
Well, awesome. Well, so Casey, we'll start with you. You were the big winner over the weekend. Give everybody a little bit of a rundown about, you know, who you are and where you're from, how you got into kayak fishing and everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, my name's Casey Reed. I've been kayak fishing, I don't know how long now, I guess about 9-10 years maybe. You know, just started fishing ponds and the river by me and just found out about tournaments, man, and, like, it's been on ever since. Like, started fishing little club tournaments, and then KBF started doing the online stuff and got into the online stuff and qualified for that first national championship and, you know, made the trip out to Kentucky Lake and, like, dude, I've been ate up with it ever since and just fishing as much as possible. You know, I ran a local club for about 4 years and unfortunately I had to give that up just because I was traveling so much and I really wanted to do this full-time kind of fishing thing.
Get it.
That's definitely something I see a lot of in kayak fishing is there's so many tournament directors that are, I feel like if you're as die hard about fishing the tournaments, you can't do both, you know, like unless you're Steve Owens and that doesn't count because Steve Owens yeah. is a different breed of animal or AJ because AJ can do both. But, you know, it's such a commitment to run a club that, like, you know, Casey's a perfect example. You kind of got to pick one or the other. And
yeah.
Garrett starting to touch on that.
Yeah, I'm starting to dabble in that realm of. Because it's hard to commit all your weekends because you're running a club. You have to commit all your weekends to those events. And then it kind of – you don't have as much time to go fish for the national stuff. So it's hard to
– Yeah, I mean, it makes it tough. And, like, it was fine when the – you know, we started out real small. And then once we started growing, like, I was fishing it when we were small. And then we started getting a lot of people that I didn't know involved and, like, I just had to back out of even fishing those events just because I didn't want there to ever be any kind of controversy if I did good an event. You know, I just didn't ever want that to anybody to think anything. So I stopped fishing and just ran them. And I'm like, man, I just want to fish. And you know, I yeah. think I grinded it out for another 2 years after that. And then I had to give it up. But, you know, hopefully one day I'll run another event or two. I got some good ideas for some big events, but I just haven't been able to put everything together yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to touch on what he said, that is probably any tournament director could probably agree. That's probably the hardest dilemma is even when you don't fish the event, for what he said, you know, you don't want anybody thinking anything about it. So you don't fish the events, but it still like plays in your head all the time. Like they could have done good in an area I already knew about. And then it's like, well, God, now I don't want to go back there because, you know, somebody will start some stuff, you know.
Start questioning, like, how'd you find out about this spot?
And exactly.
Like, yeah.
And some folks just don't like to hear that their spot's common knowledge. Like, yeah. Be like, no, bro, your spot's not anything secret. You're probably the last one to know. You just did good there. But it is. It's a fun battle. No, it's not fun at all, but it's a battle. Well, Ryan, yep. Your turn, man. Tell the world who you are, where you're from, how you got in it, and how the wallpaper of checks came to be.
Yeah, so I would say probably 5-6 years ago, something like that, I started kayak fishing. My name is Ryan Matalevich. I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania. So I actually committed to fishing a lot because pretty much everything around us is trash. So, I mean, I know a lot of y'all heard about the Wall and Paul Pack, and that's about the best thing we got around us. So,
yeah.
So we're fortunate. We're only a couple hours from like upstate New York. So we got like Cayuga and Lake George is only a little ways away. And then we have Ontario, obviously. So even being in PA, I'm still closer to Ontario and all the upstate New York stuff than like Erie, which is a longer haul. I got the kayaks and was just kind of messing around when my dad got one with me. And we just started fishing like ponds and having fun and messing around. And we decided to do, I think it was Kentucky Lake, a Hobie event, which I had no idea, man. I was just a pond fisherman. And we went down there and it was completely awful. I think I caught like one fish the whole time I was down there.
I mean, that's and still saying like, something on Kentucky Lake.
that was the Bass Open Series. And then I fished that other, like, I said, I forget what it was called. It was St. Clair, but it was that Canadian mixed breed Border Classic or whatever it was, Border City Classic.
Yeah.
I fished that in St. Clair, and that kind of got me going. And then I just doing a little hybrid of mixture of things. And then I decided to fully commit the second year to KBF and had some close finishes whenever a top 10. And then just kept going and kept grinding at it. Went to like all the northern stuff, didn't really go south too much, and just got better and better and started figuring out more and more from each tournament I went to. And some advantages going back to the same tournaments, you know what I mean, of the same locations, and kind of getting some more time on those places and figuring stuff out and figuring out the baits, because everybody knows they have a million different baits, but you start finding those favorites. I mean, Casey never veers from the shaky. So he cracks about that all the time. But you know, I don't know, that's another thing. I mean, a little off topic, but I mean, everybody says, I think one of the earliest events I fished was actually down in Casey's neck of the woods, and I thought you won that one. Everybody said this was your first one, but I thought you won it was what's the name of that, that one that has like the warm water side down in Virginia?
I thought Lake Anna.
Lake Anna, right? You won that, didn't you?
I think I saw Dakota Lithium post that. I think that's where that kind of got started. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I was like, no, he definitely beat me at Lake Anna.
It's just been a while.
It's been a few. You definitely remember who takes your money. Like,
yeah. That was another tournament where they're on beds, not going too far off topic, where I found someone. I spent like half a day trying to catch a fish. And but anyway,
hey, that's what we're hoping for this weekend. That's what we're hoping for on Gunnersville. Is I want to stare at the same fish all day. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The South's warming up right now. It sounds like it's happening everywhere.
Yeah, Lake Murray was warming up, that's for sure. They were starting to move up. Casey saw that a lot more than what I was doing, but they were definitely starting to pull up real, real shallow on Lake Murray, and that's a deep lake. So I would imagine Gunnersville would be right there.
I hope so.
Yeah, they pretty much stay shallow. So,
So while we're on the topic of Lake Murray, because we're going to hit all sorts of stuff, because I want to hear, anytime I hear somebody that's like kicks ass on a shaky head, I need to like poke the bear on that, because it's just not something in my arsenal. So we're definitely going to touch on that. But and if they're up shallow, we want to hear about all that too. But either one of y'all that want to, whoever's got, you know, real good knowledge on it, give us a layout. You know, tell anybody that like me knows nothing about it, what kind of lake it is, a little more detailed than Garrett already touched on. Either one of y'all that want to do it.
Yeah, Casey, go first.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time in all the different areas of that lake, but I do know that it's just a very diverse fishery. I mean, you were talking earlier about it being like similar to a Highland reservoir, but like, man, it's got everything. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's got deep water. There's a Unfortunately, I think they just drew it down like 10 feet to kill a bunch of grass. So I think a lot of that is gone now. But I mean, there was a ton of grass. There's still some deeper grass, but man,
That kind of
it's just got
sucks.
a little bit of everything. It's got crystal clear water. It's got dirty water. Like I said, grass. I mean, docks. Like it
Yeah, I don't there's nothing that
For
doesn't
me,
have,
it
right?
fished
A
as
river
similar to
too.
like Smith Mountain Lake, which is right by me. So like that's why I like it so much. But I mean, it's got a little bit of everything.
It sounds like it's kind of a hybrid between the lowland and highland reservoir.
For
'Cause like
sure.
up in the river, it looks like it only gets like 20 foot deep up in the river. And you got a lot of those like slack water areas up in there that are kind of shallow water stuff. But then you got the other end of the lake where it's almost 200 foot deep and you got steep drop offs and that kind of stuff. So looks
So you got
awesome.
one for me, it's like one side of the lake, big green flag, the other side of the lake, giant red flags. You would be able to guess where I would be just by sounds of it.
But there's like the current section too, right? So there's like all three, like literally there's like the fast water, like you can go to like the headwaters kind of deal, like right at the
Ooh.
dam, and then like there's the river up the end of there. I never went up that far. And then you get into the middle mix and you have like the dirty water type, like backwater slick calm, like back bays. It has like some lay down structure and wood with all kinds of little fingers going everywhere. Lots of stuff to flip at, and then you get down towards the dam and you got like that real clear water stuff. And that's like a blueback lake, so unlike another lake I fished down there, which drawing a blank on it right now, they have giant spots. There's spots there that are up in the river and stuff, but down there those largemouth, a lot of them get out on in the summertime. Wasn't really happening when we were there, but they get real long and fat, but they're out there chasing like bluebacks around. So summertime, like you'll see that lake is like all top water action. So it's all like big top water plugs and just working them real fast across the top, and they
It's
just get
awesome.
blasted and you don't know if you're gonna catch a 5 pound, 6 pound largemouth or a striper. It's like
Yeah.
Well, adding this one to the list. He had me at topwater.
Oh, it's a phenomenal topwater fishery after like post spawn, like summertime. But they're scattered around and like all over the place. So like you can be throwing it forever, but as soon as they come around, even right now when I was down there, Casey, I don't know if you saw it, but like at my Airbnb and stuff and the back of the creek pockets, like I'd be sitting there and I'd just like poosh, like they are so violent. And they were like hitting, like they're coming up out of the water, like even now, like this early, I was seeing them come up. I didn't catch anything on top water, but I'm sure if you were in the right scenario, thrown in the right spot, you could have made it happen.
Yeah, then maybe like a week later or two, like after it's warmed up just a little bit more.
It's almost like that old
Yeah, I mean, one of the
fisherman's
things.
tale. You should have been here yesterday. You should have been here 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that made me fish start where I did start was I pushed in the back of the pocket and or the back of the creek, and I just stood up, and there was just bait all around me, and I pushed it all the way to the back, and then it had nowhere else to go, so it took off past me. And as soon as it did that, man, I mean, it just was fish after fish busting on it. And I was like, holy crap. And I ended up catching two like back to back. And I was like, man, I guess I gotta start here. Like I had another plan. That was gonna be kind of my day two plan. But I was like, I guess, after seeing that, I was like, man, this is where I gotta be in the morning.
I don't know if I've ever heard about anybody doing that, like corralling the bait into a pocket and then
That's the lake
I mean, that, yeah.
to
I don't know
It was
why,
pretty
like,
wild how it
yeah, I don't like, I know this isn't how he approached it, but in my head, I just see him like standing up in his kayak, like
Yeah,
making a
come
big
on over
shadow, like,
here.
come on.
I mean, like, yeah, I didn't mean to do it that way, but that's exactly what happened, and it was pretty crazy to watch. Like, I literally like saw him running away from me, and then they had nowhere else to go, so they went past me, and yeah, it was just. It was just fish busting.
That's definitely that. I mean, that's it, dude. Like, I seen that same, every pocket I went into seemed to have a ridiculous amount of bait. And I remember from last year when I was there, my buddy was telling me this deal where he went to the back of one of the pockets and he said it was just stacked full of bait, like real shallow in the corner. And there was just a line of like giant 5-pounders just staring at the bait. But it was like, it was way cleaner last year than it was this year. And yeah, he's like, he couldn't get him to bite like anything, but he was like literally looking, they were like guarding it in the corner, just waiting to eat it. And like, just all hanging out, like just watching in the corner, but they wouldn't eat it.
It's like rolling up on a gang fight. It sounds like.
As innovation and technology rapidly evolve, there's no place better to be on the leading edge than at the Department of Defense. There are thousands of unique and diverse non-uniformed opportunities for DoD civilians, opportunities you can't find anywhere else. From cyber to AI, engineering to logistics, aircraft maintenance to shipbuilding and more. Level up your career in the face of evolving challenges as you become a force of change. Discover your future at the Department of Defense. Learn more at DoDCivilianCareers.com.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, people have known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors. Pineapple Daiquiri, Strawberry Margarita, Mango Mai Tai, and Passion Fruit Hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Stare down like, oh god, what's
some
going
Mexican
on
standoff.
Well, so just because you kind of mentioned it, go ahead and just jump into your pre-fishing, you know, how it went. Like you said, like you had a different plan going in. Casey, if you want to start with your pre-fishing, you know, approach to everything, tell us about it.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been there the past 2 years. We fished a tournament there and I've kind of just done the same thing. And I've always done decent in the tournaments. I think I've cashed checks both years. You know, nothing super impressive, but you know, pretty decent limits. And that was kind of my plan going in. I figured it kind of set up the same way, you know, same time of year, same everything. So during practice, I just kind of ran a bunch of stuff that I fished previously, checked it out. You know, caught some fish, basically fishing docks, you know, out a little bit deeper, you know, from anywhere from, I guess I say deeper, but I don't know, 12 to 8 foot. And I just started fishing all that stuff. And, you know, I got some bites here and there. I know I didn't do as good as I was hoping during practice. You know, I didn't see any big fish, but I was getting bites and, you know, catching some 16 and 17 inches. And I was like, you know, all I figured it'd take anyways was, you know, one or two bigger fish and, you know, that'd put you up close to 90 and
yeah,
at least get a good check. You know, so I did that all during practice and just kind of scouted new water, just searched a bunch of new water, just ran a bunch of stuff, market brush piles as well. And then,
so were you looking kind of more for like pre-spawn type of stuff? Like what kind of water temperatures were you finding that?
Yeah. So like I actually went out, I fished Saturday and Sunday before the event. I drove down there and I think it was Saturday. There was water temperatures 54 degrees.
Okay.
I saw a couple fish up shallow and I saw a couple fish on beds. And
wow.
I didn't really, you know, that never really went through my mind anymore other than like I saw a couple fish there. And if I, you know, I'd definitely check it out during the tournament to see if they were still there. But like, I mean, it's 54 degree water. Like I wasn't expecting any kind of spawn kind of thing to be really happening.
Like a huge wave to push up or anything.
Yeah. But you know, I went back to work and then I went back down and practiced again for Thursday and Friday. And Friday it ended up getting, I mean, it got up to 85 degrees. I think I don't remember. It got really warm. The water temperature was up in like 67, I think, is the highest I saw. 67 or 68. And I still wasn't really thinking. I did see a few more beds and stuff, but I didn't see a ton of fish up shallow. Granted, I wasn't really looking up super shallow either. But I had went back in one of these pockets, and it was getting close to the end of practice, and I was just kind of just really messing around. And I just flipped up next to, they call it the bank grass down there. I don't know what it is, but flipped up next to the grass, and I got a bite. And I was trying not to set the hook on much many fish that day, so I didn't set the hook. And then I pulled, you know, I got my worm back, and I threw back over there again, to another spot, and got another bite like 10 feet away. So I'm like,
wow.
And I did set the hook on that one, and it was a better fish, you know, it was like 17 3/4. And I'm like, okay, so that was kind of in the back of my mind the whole time.
Yeah. But
I was still planning to do kind of the same old stuff, you know, that I've been doing in practice. And then that's when I went to the back of that pocket and saw all those fish, and you know, that's when I decided I was going to start there. Well, come first thing tournament morning, you know, we got a freaking ton of rain that night. I go back there that morning, and it's just freaking nothing but mud. And I was seeing fish on the live and seeing all the bait still back there, but I just couldn't get anything to bite. So I went right back to where I got those two bites in practice and threw over there, caught one, threw over there again, caught another one. And they were better fish. You know, they were, I don't remember, they were 17 or 18 or something. And I was like, there's got to be something to this. So I just worked that whole pocket, just throwing at the edge of that grass. And man, I just kept getting bites and bites. And when I came out of that pocket, it was a little bit clearer water right there. And I threw up, or it was a little bit shallower, I guess. And I could see a male on the bed, and he hit my worm. And I'm like, dude, it just clicked right then. I'm like, they're freaking up on beds right now. And yeah. I just ran that all the grass line that I could see back there, and just, I mean, just started whacking them pretty good.
That's awesome.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. So it sounds like the big wave ended up coming after that warm front came through.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, I'll save the question for once we get more into the tournament days about that spot in particular. But Ryan, real quick, if you want to hit on your pre-fishing before I forget this question.
Yeah, no problem. I started kind of in the middle of the lake more, and it's a spot I fished history in the past, and went there. That's where I spent a lot of my pre-fishing. I went out there the first day, and I caught them pretty good, but I never found a spot that I could just like catch fish on. So I was covering like a ton of different water, and there'd be like one here, then another 100 yards, and I find one, and like I just couldn't find a spot where I could get multiple bites like in one time. And it was just inconsistent stuff, which for those that do know me, I'm more of like an electronics fisherman, and like I kind of like to know that my fish are like, know that I can catch them and know that I'm in like a consistent spot. I have a hard time fishing for five bite kind of thing. But I was catching fish, but not like I wanted to. Spent like my whole pre-fishing trying to expand on the area that I was used to, but that's where I ended up going on day one of the tournament. And during pre-fishing, I hammered a big one. It was like 7 3/4 pounds. It was 23.5 inches. And then I'm like, all right, well, this is like, I tried a couple different things, and I really didn't find anything that I liked better. And I said, well, I guess this is kind of where I'm gonna go. I did well here in the past, and it's a very vast spot where there's like a lot of water to cover. It's not like tight pockets. It's like more main lake features. So like when you're running from like points and marking brush piles and little spots where you're finding fish, I mean, you've hit one spot and then you got like a 20 minute run to the next spot. So like you can eat up your tournament day pretty quick if you get caught up on a spot too long. And that's what I ended up doing. I had a good couple bites first thing on Saturday. I think I ended up with like 74 inches for four fish. My fifth fish I had, that was like 17 and a half, 18. I mean, obviously we're guessing, right? But it came up out of the water. Like I was on a spinning reel and my net, I was rotating between like three different rods and I had my net placed bad in my kayak and it was like underneath my other rod. So then I grabbed, like, I'm like, oh, it's not that big, whatever. So I went to flip it in the boat with the spinning rod, hit the side of the kayak and shook the hook and swam away. And that would have been enough to get me like probably in like 94, 93, 94 inches for the day. I'm like, no big deal. I'll catch another one. And it never happened. Never caught another fish. So that
when
was
you
my
were,
Saturday.
When you were talking about like in your pre-fishing kind of searching, when you were having to run around because you weren't finding like one area that was kind of loaded up, were you at least finding a pattern where it was like same bait, you know, like, like jigs on a brush pile, but like the same thing, you were just having to run and hit the same thing everywhere?
Yeah, the rumor mill goes around everything during pre-fishing stuff. Everybody's hammering them on crankbaits and chatterbaits, and that's always what seems to be going down. And that just, I'm just not that guy, kind of. It just never happens for me that way. So I caught like all my fish, and I mean, I caught them on drop shots. I caught them on small shaky heads. I caught them on like 10 inch shaky heads. I caught them on literally five different variations of worms, really. I didn't really catch them on. I got one on a jerkbait that was like 19.75 that I got offshore. I thought that was like, oh, I got fired up on that. I'm like, all right, I seen one chasing bait, caught on a jerkbait. I'm like, this is my thing. I can catch him out here doing this. And then I spent like another half of the day and I never got another bite. So I'm like, well.
Hold on. This has clicked for me. You had 73 and 3/4 inches with four fish.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that fifth one would have been huge for you.
Yeah, which it definitely would have gave me a better overall weekend. So, but anyway, things happen, you know, and I got kind of a little frazzled by it. My dad finished well. He ended up, I think, in like 11th or 12th place.
I was going to ask you if that was, dad or brother.
Yeah, that was my dad. He did pretty well that day. And he was doing the opposite of like, kind of, I found out after what I was doing, he was like up shallow fishing and I was, still offshore. And I think it was, it's that weird, like temperamental spot, right? Cause you got fish that are out deep and fish that are up shallow and in between. And it's like, you like kind of, that's why, like I mentioned, I did like a hybrid pattern and I was fishing like main lake, like points, right? Cause we had that cold front come in and it's worked for me in the past. I was fishing like little rock piles and brush piles on like main lake points. And I was getting fish to bite doing that. And then the docks can be really good when the fish push up, but that cold front usually will kind of keep them away. He turned out that he was fishing docks and he was catching them. And I just didn't really see anything happening on the dock. So I spent way more time offshore and I was looking for brush piles and I had some marks, but again, they were very far and few between. And like, I'd keep running from point to point, but they were so far away to do in a kayak that it was just pretty challenging.
I mean, I was gonna say, like, if you're somebody that likes to fish points, this lake has got plenty of options.
Yes.
Like, if you've never looked at this lake on a map, folks, go ahead and pull it up. You could fish this place for months out of a kayak and not hit every good looking point on this thing. I mean, they all are like, they look like textbook when you're learning about like main lake points, secondary points. This lake has thousands of them. Like, it's insane.
It's loaded with points, and I mean, it's just got rock piles on them, and man, they look good. I've fished them before, and I've never been able to do really good on them this time of year. I feel like that really good bite is a little bit earlier in the year, but they're still out there.
Temperatures,
but it's
just, and stuff.
But in the other thing about the lake is that I mentioned the striper and stuff, right? So like the live sonar can like bite you there because there's so many different fish swimming around that you're trying to mess with and get the bite and stuff that like, it's not all bass. So it can be a challenge of like identification of what it is and what you're fishing for and what's there and what's not there. And you can kind of get used to how they act and respond. But I mean, one of the biggest fish I caught was in like 23 feet of water, 24 feet of water. And it was suspended up only 5 foot down. And I'm like, oh, it's definitely a striper. I just saw a big mark coming across the screen. I literally threw something on top of it. It fell right down the bottom and bit it. And it was like a 22 inch fish. So, and that wasn't the biggest one I caught, but it was another big one. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, so, and that same thing, I caught him on the jerkbait, but then I couldn't replicate that, you know? And then I'd get another one to bite and be a striper. I'm like, man, this is just kind of tough. So anyway, day two,
tell the difference between them.
The day two that I did well was complete surprise to me because like Casey, like I mentioned to him, it was significantly dirtier this year than it was in the past years. And I like the clear water better. I'm not a dirty water guy. I'm like a big, I'll be in the clearest water of the lake every time. I said, well, like I got to get closer to the dam, I guess, to find some water. And I ended up looking around at some other launches and stuff. And I ended up going up closer to like the clear water, 'cause I was up the lake quite a bit. And I just wanted to move closer to the dam. And that's what I did. And I just got towards a little bit of clear water. It was a place I never even fished before. And I think on these kind of lakes, it typically helps me, because a lot of times I'll go out pre-fishing and I'll do way better than I do after I go to replicate it, whether I beat the fish up or hit the same fish or whatever. And I never saw this area. I kind of just looked at it on actually one of our contacts at Old Town sent me a link with like a trial for a new app. That's basically what I'm trying to think what is the name of it? It's the One Boat Network app. It's basically the Humminbird.
Yeah. App. The Humminbird app. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And I got that and I started looking around on it, and I was like playing with the trial actually the after the first night of the tournament. And I was looking around at some different maps and trying stuff out and trying to see, like I said, oh, well, this looks good. This looks like a lot of the stuff I'm fishing, but a lot more condensed into one spot. So I said, whatever, like, okay, it's real hard for me to leave this box. I know there's good fish here, but I'm going to send it, you know? And it was, that's what I did. I went to this spot, I launched out there, and, I didn't even know. I had a couple things I looked at that I started on the map from the night before. And, it went there and it turned out right off the bat, I caught a 19.75. And then I had another one that was probably like just as big, if not bigger. And it came off on me, like right next to the same spot. It was on a rod and it got like over my shoulder. And like, it was just in a bad spot. I was on a spinning rod and I was all hooked, tangled up weird. And the kayak was facing the wrong direction. And it was kind of like one of those weird casts I probably should have better lined up for. And it came off and I was like, damn, man. And I said, whatever, shook it off and kept just running around the lake, going to the different stuff that I kind of marked. And what's so nice about that is the app that helped me mark this stuff is that One Boat Network app is basically like what people most know is like Navionix and the Chart Viewer. It has all that, but with the Humminbird maps, and it has also like all the rock piles and all the different stuff you can see, and you can drop waypoints on it right through your phone. So like I could just pull my phone up and start running waypoints off stuff that I looked at, because you can scroll around all the time and like look at stuff and that, but if you don't actually have like the waypoints and mark the little spots that you want to look at, it's just a really convenient, nice feature. So
that's pretty cool.
Thanks for sending me that. Awesome. Yeah, that's what I ended up doing. I ran around that lake and I ended up catching them, most of them on points offshore, just like I was doing the first day. And then the couple bigger fish that I caught, it was just getting warmer and I was seeing them start to move shallower and shallower. And I ran up like super shallow and I caught my two big ones for the tournament on day two, right on the backside of the docks. So they pushed up shallow. They were getting ready to stage to get on bed. There's like a little spawning cove there. And it was like the first dock coming out of deep water right before the spawning cove. And they kind of set up on it. And two docks back to back, I got a 20 and then a 19.75.
God, I just need that kind of luck. One day. Just one day.
But I definitely wasn't crushing them. Like I probably had 8 fish on day two. So like
they were the right ones. So yeah. That's all that matters sometimes.
So, you know, back to Casey to expand on. So you know, you killed it on day one. I mean, you killed it on day two. You were talking about, you know, sticking to this area, you know, fishing this grass line. Like how big of an area are you talking about? Like just general size.
I mean, it's pretty big. It's the back of a big creek arm. I didn't know, like the first day I made it, maybe a quarter of the way out, and you know, I was just catching fish the whole time basically. So like it seemed like once I got further out, the fish started getting a little bit smaller, and then fewer and far between. I didn't know if that was a timing thing. I didn't know exactly what it was, you know. And again, that first day I couldn't see many of the fish on beds, but I knew they were there. You know, so I really didn't know what to expect going into day two, because like, you know, after doing, I burned myself a lot of times going to this back to the same area, doing the same things. And it was just so good. I had to at least go through it. So my plan was on day two, to do the exact same thing, but maybe just like kind of move through it a little quicker and get to some newer water a little bit faster in the day. And yeah. Like I started out, the fish weren't quite as big that morning, you know, still catching some decent fish and, you know, put up a respectable limit, and then, you know, kind of just kept upgrading from there. But, you know, the good thing about the next day was that water really, I mean, it still wasn't clear, but like I could see the beds. I could see the fish. I spooked so many of them, and, you know, I sat there and sight fished for quite a few. I had found one the day before that I couldn't catch, and I went back to it and ended up catching it. And that was kind of at the end of my run, that first day. So I just kind of continued on from there and, you know, kept seeing fish and sitting there messing with them until I could get them to bite. And, you know, by the end of the day, I had worked probably more than halfway out of that creek arm and started, you know, well, I actually came across, it was actually pretty cool how it worked. It was like, I guess it was like the last 30 minutes of the day, 20 minutes, you know, left to fish. And I just got an upgrade. I think it was a 17. I think I still must have had like a 16 or something on the board. I can't remember exactly, but I come across this bed, and it's got a male and female sitting on it. And I mean, the female looked to me to be like 21 or something, you know, it was jeez, 20 or 21. And then, you know, the male looked to be about 17 something. And I went right over top of them before I saw them. And then, you know, they kind of ran away. And I think like now it's like, well, it was 15 minutes left. And, like, okay. So I went and fished up a little bit, and then I was like, all right, turned around and came back, made a long cast over there, nothing. And I kind of just like eased up on it, and I saw the male still sitting there. And I was standing up on my seat at this point in my autopilot, and I just dropped straight down onto it, and it freaking hits it. And I just set the hook, and it was this like 17 something, another upgrade. And I'm like, okay, like, this is freaking awesome. So I was like, I, at that point I was torn. I was like, man, I know there's a big fish there. You know, there's like 10 minutes left. Do I move away for 5 minutes, wait for that female to come back? What do I do? In my head, I'm like, no, just keep moving. You've already found like 3 or 4 fish right in this line. So I just kept moving down the bank, and I just happened to random cast to a dock in between going around the docks. And friggin' 20 and a quarter, I guess it was, just smashes it. 7 minutes left to go. I get a picture, and you know, that was a four inch upgrade for me, just about. And
jeez,
I didn't know at the time, but yeah, it moved me into second place. And I, dude, when that fish hit, because I had a couple 19s that day, but you know, I had a 20 and a 21 the day before. And, you know, I needed something like that. And it just, that one just was like pure luck. Like it was completely different than what I had been doing. And just like that one random cast, you know?
So touching on, when you were catching them before you could really see them, you know, day one, and this for both of you, cause y'all were both fishing so different. What was the bite like? Was it highly aggressive, more of a mush mouth thing where you could just 1 minute feel your bait and the next minute just, you know, that weight on the end of it? What were y'all feeling with that? Because I had a conversation with somebody the other day, and you know, they thought that this time of year it's very highly aggressive bites, and I was, you know, like, on the contrary, no, a lot of the bites that I've gotten so far this year or in previous spawn years, it, especially when you can't see them and you're not expecting it, it's sometimes it's they're there and you don't even realize it. It's just been a quick, just, and then they've got a hold of it.
Pick it up and hold it.
Yeah. What were y'all feeling?
For me, it was just, I was getting the tick, you know, I'd feel like the thunk, like just like a little quick, and then it was there, and that's basically pretty much all of them that I had all day. A couple of them I would just like I'd see the line kind of going down, and then it would see it start going to the side, and it would just be in its mouth. And
you were fishing a drop shot, right?
A drop shot and a shaky head, and I mean I was throwing a Senko. I basically I was just fishing all worm profiles, but in like six different ways.
I like it.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
That's something that I've never thought about. I usually am doing like 10 different things and none of them are at all anything similar. Yeah. That's something that everybody can take away from this to try maybe. Like if you're getting them on a some kind of worm or creature bite, maybe try that same thing five different ways to maximize your time in the water, you know, your bait in the water time. It's a good idea. What was you going to say, Casey? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, so I was just going to say the bites kind of were the same for me. Like there was a couple that I remember specifically. You know, I had my line pretty tight, and all of a sudden I didn't feel anything. I just see my line swimming into the grass. And I'm like, what the heck? I set the hook, and, you know, it was on there. And then after that, it was – and this was day one, but it was like, you know, you just feel that tap. And it start swimming away. They were actually eating it really good on day one. You know, I didn't really miss many fish at all. And day two, it was like they would just like pick up the tail of it. But a lot of times, you know, I'd set the hook and the tail would be missing on the worm or something. But I could throw back in there and get it to eat again.
That's actually one of my favorite like telltale signs when I'm this time of year when I'm casting and, you know, maybe I haven't seen beds yet or don't know where they're at. It never fails. And it's I usually do it with a Senko, but you'll start pitching Senkos up and just watching it just, you know, left or right away from you. But they've always just got the base of it, you know, never mouthing it. And I'm like, oh. That's the males. They're spawning. You know, they're up here about to do their thing. They're moving stuff away from their beds.
Yeah.
And then I get all excited and pull out a frog because that makes sense.
The bites maybe not be were not like super aggressive, but again, I'm sure they were for the guys throwing like the chatterbaits and the crankbaits from what I've heard.
Oh yeah.
But they fought very, very good. Like they were really, really strong fighting fish down there. I don't know if it's because the ones I was catching are like the shad chasers that are out in the main lake constantly running, like almost
roaming,
like,
all day.
Yeah, but those fish, man, I was so blessed on day two to be able to land those fish. It's just unbelievable, man. Like, cause I was the two big ones I caught, I was on, I was fishing with like 10-pound Sunline, like fluorocarbon. I mean, with like I had a braid like F or the SX1 braid on it with just like a 10-pound fluorocarbon leader, and I was fishing around docks, right, which is scary with big fish.
Yeah.
And a couple of them, man, they literally just took off like rockets. They were in between the other one. There was a bass boat fishing right down from me in the one spot, and he was like watching me. He's like, "You need a net, buddy." I'm like, no, man. And then I was like, I ended up like grabbing it with my hand because it was in between like six different dock posts, and I was like laying on my back, like floating underneath the dock in my kayak, trying to get it out underneath the dock, and ended up grabbing it, you know. And I let out a couple like an Ellie screams when I caught that one. Yeah, and that happened to two fish, man. So I was just like, this is unreal. So like, it just made, it was like that epic battle where I'm like, yeah. And then my wife's like, yeah, don't you never carry a GoPro though? You're always too lazy to use a GoPro.
Man, I was fixing to say, it'd been great to have had that like onboard footage or from like the bass boat perspective. Cause you know, they catch one in the docks and they're just kind of there. They're like, but imagine looking over and seeing this guy on a kayak, just like,
limboing under the
freaking dock.
Pulling a 5-pounder out from under the dock, like literally.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But dude, the thing is on that, man, like people don't realize from a kayak perspective, right? Like I, in my mind, like I'm real into like, I love like, I use NRX pluses, which are pricey, but like that feel, man, that parabolic rod, like it's just so, and Casey can relate to it in a sense with having a spinning rod in a kayak, like it just gives you like such an advantage that people don't realize that like when you get a fish right to the kayak, right, and the rod's loading up, like it can take off and run and bounce and give you time to like lean on it and net it. If you have like a stiff bait caster and you get that a fish like right to the thing, like yeah, you can catch them on it, but if you're not planning on trying to flip it right into the kayak and you're messing around with that net, that rod unloads so fast that that like hook can just pop off in like a split second. And I just feel so much more comfortable landing those like bigger fish when there's no obstructions or anything. For me, it's like either spinning rod into the net or like I'm trying to just straight boat flipping with my bait caster. But like trying to net with a bait caster for me is just like, it's gone south way more than it's been positive.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. I've had more, you know, on that, the heavier bait caster sides, like my flipping stick, frog rod, punching rod.
Yeah.
I've learned that bites on those don't go in a net. They come, I will break that rod in half getting that fish in the boat before I try that net.
Guaranteed, man. You have such a better chance, in my opinion, just flipping right in the boat. Most of the time I'm flipping those heavier rods, I'm standing up in the kayak. And the benefit of like the autopilot, which Casey obviously runs too, is like standing up and like he's just so stable. It's like the most stable kayak I've ever been in. And I've been in a lot of different kayaks. And you just can like sit there and like bed fishing with it. If you have to do what he's doing, it's just like nothing's better. I mean, you have that motor down in the hole there. It's not like a big obstruction when you're getting up shallow. It kicks up easy. You don't have to worry about ripping it off the front of your bow. And like you can stand up on your kayak, stand up on the seat. It's just, and see perfectly and just kind of flip like you're like in a bass boat. And it's just, it's an unbelievable fishing platform.
For sure.
Yeah, I think several.
Yeah, I wish the video I had was a little better. I wish the video I had was a little better of me standing up in that seat, but like, dude, it's so awesome to just be able to get up there. You're probably at that point, you may be even higher up than in a bass boat, but like your vantage point is just awesome for spotting them bedded fish.
That's one thing I miss about my native. When I had my Titan 12, I had like 3 inches of riser already on that giant tall seat, and I'd stand in the seat bed fishing with that thing. And it is. It's like the guys you see out, I can't remember where in the country they do it. I think it's on one of the Great Lakes, but they'll go set the ladders out like 3 foot deep in the water, and you'll sit on top of the ladder. That's what you feel like in these boats, in these the autopilots and the Titans, standing in the seat. You feel like you're it's like standing on a solo skiff up on the viewing platform, push-pulling around.
I actually stepped it up a little bit and did that. My business partner, I told him what I was doing, and like I was like stepping on my seat, and I actually broke one of my seats just from like jumping up and down on it a lot.
Yeah.
So I rigged it back together, and Old Town got me another one that I use for like most of the time, but I fixed my old one, and he actually took like a woodworking tabletop, like a coffee tabletop, and bolted it and put like grip tape on the top of it and mounted it on the seat. And I actually straight up casting platform. So actually, I used that at an event up north last year when it was a bed fishing tournament. And I literally was standing up and I was like higher than I am in my bass boat when I was just like rolling across the top. And I could, it was incredible being able to just move around and like bed fish with like my remote and like just literally just sit there and like flip through. It was
dude,
ridiculous.
That's awesome. I mean, like, I'm waiting for somebody to come out with something. I mean, Vibe has the one kayak, I guess, that has a platform on the back of its seat.
Yeah, I can't think of it, but they do. And it actually, you say what you want about that kayak, I think it's completely crap, but that little
sheer
fold
water,
down,
is that what
yeah,
it is?
That's it.
Yeah.
The fold down seat to the standing platform is actually really stable. It was a really cool idea.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Like, I feel like more.
I thought the micro skiffs were going to take off with Solo Skiff and, like, Robert Weicker, much as he was promoting those and doing real good in them, I really thought those were going to take off, and that's when we would see more of that, like, standing platform setup. Yeah. But I don't know. Seems to be working standing in the old seats. Yes, I mean, for some of you not so talented woodworking guys out there, just take a 2x10 and lay it across a seat. You'll be fine. Just kind of to recap, though, man, y'all had two, you know, excellent days out there. Casey's day one, 98.5 inches, 21 of 20, and, you know, a handful of other really good fish, you know, fantastic. So you went back to the same area and you approached it the same way and, you know, was able to come out on day two with 93 3/4. And like you said, that last fish, you said it was like a 4-inch upgrade. I mean, that was a huge move. Like, you were probably right outside of the top 10 before that.
I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure. I wasn't really keeping up with the leaderboard. I feel like I was, at some point I was like 7th, 8th or something. I may have dropped even further than that. I don't know. But yeah, I mean,
big old call at the last minute
for sure. Yeah.
And then Ryan, you know, one thing I was going to ask you, you know, from your, you had an excellent day one, you know, just shy of that one fish that would have really shaken everything up. Going into day two, did you like learn your mistake with your net and make sure that wasn't an issue?
Well, I guess not, because I lost that other one, but for a different stupid reason. I was able to recover and catch enough fish. But no, I did. I started netting every fish then. And like I said, I got like almost like it was early in the day when I missed that fifth one, and I never think nothing came after that. And it was just I really didn't think too much of it. And I was being quick and I just wanted to move on to the next fish. I'm like, oh, it's not a tank, whatever, I'm gonna flip it in. But it was still a quality 17, 18 inch fish probably, you know, but it didn't look like one of those real giants, and I thought I'd be okay getting it in. And it wasn't that, it was just the hook, like it was that one I think was on a drop shot. So like when I pulled it up in, like it was just like the hook just bent out when it fell down in. But
what size drop shot tight. Hooks your preference?
I use like a 1-0 mosquito light is what I use.
I like them small.
Yeah, but I real tiny one. The owner makes the best one in the business, in my opinion. The 1-0 mosquito light by owner, and they're cheap. You can get like a 50 pack for a couple bucks, and they're just incredible hooks. And I mean, I've caught plenty of 6-pound smallmouth, 5-pound smallmouth, giant largemouth, all on that little tiny hook.
I mean, I have people all the time when they see me take out the little 1-0s or number ones, and they're like, that's too small of a hook. I mean, like, have you ever looked at fly fishermen? Yeah. Like, do you see what they catch with that little bitty hook? You shut up. This is going to work. Like, okay.
They work, man. That's for
it
sure.
Does.
I'm the opposite. I throw like a 3-0, 4-0 on my drop shot, but I'm also usually throwing a pretty big worm on there. But
yeah.
Man, I use that 1-0 mosquito light on like the big robo worms. Like, it makes absolute no sense. Even when I look at it, when I cast it out, I'm like, you think of a Texas rig and like your hook point and at the percentage down the bait, the hook point comes out. You're like, okay, the fish can only miss it by this much. And then you throw a, you know, 6.5-inch robo worm on a number one drop shot hook. And you're like, so this fish has 95% of a chance to screw this up for me. And somehow they still eat it good.
Those right ones just swallow it though, man. And
they do.
I'll throw like on that 1-0 mosquito light, like I'll go up, I'll even throw like 6-inch worms, like, you know, like I don't like 7-inch worms, like the, like I'll go up that size. And it was a Kissimmee like last year, not this year. I didn't make it down. I was too busy with work, but my dad did pretty well down there the one day. And he was actually catching them on a 1-0 mosquito light hook with a Zumal monster on it.
Holy cow.
Just nose hooked with a 1-0 hook, and he was
what?
Pulling
just wrecking him.
Fish. Yeah. And I was just laughing. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, of course he does. Cause my buddies and I all laugh because my dad would be like, just come out with these random. I'm like, you're ridiculous. That's not gonna win. Then he'll start catching. I'm like, unreal.
Yeah, I feel like that would almost like the bait would just like fly off of that little hook.
Like, oh, you're definitely probably more like lobbing that one
just
than you
lobbing
are
it out there.
Just lobbing it in there. But no, I mean, So you don't need a giant hook to catch them. I mean, for me, the bigger hook sizes are like, if you're fishing in around cover and docks, you might want something if you need to be able to muscle the fish out. Because a lot of times those littler hooks, you're not getting like full penetration, like through their lip, like their skin hooked inside the mouth. And that's where that rod is so important. And that's why that I'm like a medium light guy on those, like on my drop shot rods. And if you have anything like medium heavy and you have those little hooks, they'll rip out every time.
Yeah,
I agree. It's fun too, because when you're throwing them on like medium light, like the 1 pounder, you're like, oh, it's a five, it's a five. It's not, it's like 12 inches. But then you really know when you've got a good one, because that poor little rod, like,
just doubled over.
Oh, dude, it takes every little bit of that rod to get that in.
Yeah, that's, I mean, dude, I'll tell you, like, I said, I'm not, the fishing around me is not the best, but I'm like 3 hours and I make multiple trips up to Ontario and I go up to the St. Lawrence, and having that medium light in those like 5 and 6 pound smallmouth, like on that medium light, my bad last year I was up there and I had I think it was a 27 and a half pound bag for five smallmouth, and they're all on like that medium light rod, and dude, it is unbelievable. And then like, it gets to the point where like you laugh because of the tournament. So it's all in perspective, right? Where you're at, like a 14 inch fish could be a huge one if you need that fifth fish. And up there, like you get like threes and fours, you're like, oh, it's a dink, and your boat flipping with the spinning rod, you know, because like they're not like those giant fives and sixes. But yeah, it's just, it's unreal up there doing that. So
that's awesome. Well, great tournament, guys. And, you know, congrats for, you know, continuing to get the start of the year rolling around. Well, what do y'all got next? I know me and Casey kind of talked before the show. What y'all's next event y'all got coming up?
Yeah, Gunnersville this weekend.
Let's
go.
Hopefully the weather turns a little bit better.
Please.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a lot of rain Thursday and Friday, and then it'll cool off. And it looks like it's just going to be sunny bluebird skies, but 50 degrees Saturday and Sunday. So
it's like the worst possible post frontal.
I know.
But what about you, Ryan?
See, I'm okay with that. A lot of times I can benefit, like, in a tough tournament, you know, like,
yeah,
just throwing a damn shaky head somewhere, man, getting 5 bites when everybody else is out there throwing a chatterbait, not getting bit or whatever. Yeah. But we'll see.
I'm going to throw a shaky head on just because of Casey.
I don't want him to be the only one now.
I'm going to throw a shaky head all weekend.
Casey and the shaky head, I think, is me in a drop shot, basically. I don't think I ever go. I can be in Florida and I have a drop shot tied on. It doesn't matter where I'm at. So it's just like one of my go-to confidence baits.
Drop shot for me too, man. But like the shaky head just steps it up from the drop shot. But yeah, I always have a drop shot tied on as well. So
I think I was reading something last year about like how 50% of the tournaments or something are won, like major tournaments are won on a drop shot, or checks are cashed with drop shots. Like,
man, I had two really good years with it, and then it just like disappeared for me. And it's like I forgot how to do it. It's so weird. I loved it for like 2 years, and then come the next spring, like I could not get bit on a drop shot, and now I still cannot make it happen consistently. I do not know what happened.
I think that number might be growing because of live scope too. Like,
well, I mean,
more and more tournaments are being won on drop shots with live scope.
Yeah, that's like, oh, look, fish drop bait on them.
So, you speaking next tournament though, I think Potomac was what I was on my radar, but I'm kind of itching now, and I'm thinking I might go to St. Clair because that's early. But they're doing that super early, man. Like, it's gonna be like, there might
you're gonna be breaking ice for that one.
Yeah, there's gonna be ice on the dang place. So it'll
you're
be
just,
a
you're
cool
gonna have
time,
a couple holes bored in the ice around and just slide your kayak between them.
Have you ever fished it that early?
I never fish it that early. No, I fish it like two or three times, but never that early.
I want to find somebody that's got some knowledge on it that early, kind of leading up to that tournament, so we can talk about it, because that's been a real question I've had, is like, yeah, we know what those places do when their actual springtime and summertime roll around, but this tournament, again, it's early and the weather in the country's been, you know, holding out on the cold more than the warming trend. So I'm really, really curious to what you would have to do that early there. You know, I'm sure it's not anything close to how you would fish it in the spring. Because, I mean, the water temps are going to have to be just ridiculously cold.
They'll be in the low 40s, I would think.
Ugh.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know what you do? You just stay home from that tournament. That's how Jimmy takes it.
But we'll catch him. I mean, I do a winter series here in northeastern Pennsylvania in Harvey's Lake, and long we go out and we're out there, and like the line freezes up. We fish it until the ice goes on. We almost fished all year this year because it didn't freeze up, and we go out and it's like 0 degrees, 6 degrees, and we're out there like fishing a tournament for 8 hours with like 20 mile hour winds just because we're.
That's those good ones where when you like you rear back your spinning rod and you cast and nothing moves. Yeah. I've done that twice in my life and was like, God, these northern guys are nuts to do this.
You got to drag your rods in the water because the line will freeze and the air temp's colder than the water temp. So you like have to stick it and hold it in the water to like thaw your line out. But
man, I cheated the system and took a little bitty dropper bottle of alcohol.
Yeah.
Because we used to use alcohol where I work to unfreeze airlines in heavy equipment and hydraulic systems.
I did excavating, so I know what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah, so first time I did a tournament when it was like that and everything froze up, I was like, oh, I got a fix for this. Next time, they'd freeze up, tap all the eyes with a little alcohol, drop a little alcohol on the reel. No more problems. Well, at least for like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be worried that would eat through my line a little bit.
I never had any issues with it. I mean, it's rubbing alcohol. It's not nothing crazy.
Yeah. So, but no, I just like to just reach out and thank everybody. I mean, I mentioned the tournament, but Old Town, like I mentioned, the autopilot was just spectacular. Between that, my Dakota Lithium battery, because I was covering 10 miles a day, pretty much just running from spot to spot to spot. That new Dakota 135 amp hour battery is just like unbelievable. It's like small as the 54 amp hour battery, but like. It just runs forever. And I have that and I cover a ton of water with it. And that with that autopilot, and it's just with how windy it was down there and trying to fish those points, to be able to actually like just hit spot lock and set up on spot and be able to actually sit and worry about fishing instead of kayak positioning. It's just incredible. So thanks to Old Town and Dakota Lithium for all of that. And then obviously thank my wife for letting me go to these fishing events while she stays home and holds the fort down. So she's pretty special, and I thank her for that. And my business partner, I actually run an excavating company, and we do foundations, septic systems, like all kinds of land clearing jobs and a lot of residential stuff. And in the wintertime, we have I had to leave early for a tournament last year because we have like 160 townhouses that we service for snow removal. And so there's a lot of stuff going on, and he steps up and helps me out a lot, my partner Joe, so I thank him for doing that while I'm out of the way and having fun while he's busting his hump, you know.
Good friend. What about you, Casey? Anybody you want to thank?
Yeah, I mean, of course, Old Town, they've been with me the longest and, you know, supported me every step of the way, and they bend over backwards for anything that I need. And I mean, I wouldn't be where I am now without them. All the light keeps going out. you know, Dakota Lithium, I run the same battery Ryan just mentioned. I mean, I keep that one and I keep a spare. I've actually killed that 135 amp before, you know, running like 15, 16 miles. Jeez. But yeah, luckily this time I didn't need my spare. But yeah, that 135 amp is a freaking beast. And you know, Hummingbird, AFCO, Minn Kota, Sniper Marine, Fish USA, Cash and Fishing Rods, Ketch, and I'm probably forgetting somebody, but I mean, I always try to tell people, you know, whether it's my sponsors or whoever sponsors it is, but like, if you find something you like, just support that company, those companies that are investing in the anglers and the tournaments. You got to support those companies because they're the ones that are going to end up putting more and more money into our sport. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point.
I appreciate the opportunity to give everybody a shout out here. I appreciate the interview.
Yeah, man, we appreciate y'all coming on, and appreciate you giving that. I mean, that's great advice. Too many people come into this, you know, the sport's booming, and guys come into it and they see the fruits of other people's labors. You know, people like y'all with, you know, good sponsors, big names behind them, and they're like, I want that. You know, it's kayak fishing. It can't be hard to get that. You should give me that. I have an Instagram, you know, and it's not that. Like, don't support a company because they give you something. Support that company because you appreciate their stuff, and it'll eventually pay off for you.
100%. And then also, I wanted to congratulate just Old Town and like the performance. I mean, I don't think anybody's like swiped a tournament like Old Town did, and it was just so cool to be there and see that. And I mean, Ryan Nye finished second in day one.
Jimmy McClurkin
was up there. William Brewer. So obviously, you know, the hardware, right? There's six pieces of hardware, first, second, and third for 2 days. Old Town Anglers took five of the six, so that was just incredible.
Yeah. So is all of those fishing out of the autopilots, or is it all kind of different crafts?
Most of them are autopilots. I know Jimmy has a big water too. I don't know what he was using down there. Yeah. And then
he's got a fleet, man. There's no telling.
Yeah. He brought five boats with him or something.
hard to get me out of the autopilot though, that's for sure.
Man, I've only tried one for like an hour, and it's just not my thing for where I normally fish, just because of like where I fish in Gunnersville, that motor ain't gonna do you no good. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just too grassy, too shallow. But like, I think from an offshore standpoint, it's probably one of the best options you can get. Like, yeah. And again, I mean, one thing I didn't try was, you know, popping the motor up and paddling one, you know, so yeah. Did they move pretty good through the water with the motor up?
Yeah, I mean, they're a big boat.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be like a light kayak, you know what I mean, to paddle around, especially if it all loaded down with gear and rods and everything. So it'll paddle, but you'll work at it, you know. I wouldn't want to do it all day.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it all day in a light kayak yeah. anymore.
Hey, man. Look, I don't want to do it ever.
But...
I fish KBF over Hobie for a reason. I'm a little lazy when it comes to I want to go fishing enough. You know, like, I'm like, oh, man, that pedaling stuff's a lot of work. So
I know so many guys that are on that. Like, I think Hobie would, like, double their participation if – I mean, they have a cap. But I just know so many guys that are like – I will not fish Hobie just because I'm fat and I want to stay that way. Like, I'm okay with using my motor. Like,
I want to use my motor. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough for like the cover and water portion, right? If you're covering, like, if you like to cover like 10, 15 miles, I mean, that's a whole lot of work, man. I got to like practice all winter for that.
Yeah. You better start doing your cardio now.
my winter hobby is cycling, so I can get ready for fishing season. Well, that's awesome, guys, man. Well, we appreciate y'all coming on, and, you know, great ambassadors of the sport. You know, we appreciate your stories and your input, insights on everything, and names that we see at the top all the time. So it was great to, Ryan, have you back on, and Casey to have you on, since we don't remember if we've had you on. You don't remember. I swear we did, but I could be wrong. We talked to a lot of people. Hey man, but
like I said, my memory sucks. I can't remember what happened yesterday a lot of times. So, this is your first event you won, right?
Thank you guys too, though, man. I mean, like you guys like mentioned a little earlier in the podcast, like you with the whole running a tournament trail piece and being able to fish. I mean, taking the time out of your guys' day to like do a podcast and put stuff out there. And I mean, you're like that company that's helping the sport out, right? You help give the anglers a platform to speak and give us time, and like we're really thankful for that. So I really appreciate you guys spending your time to have us on and talk about what we're doing. And I'm sure you guys are out there fishing just like we are, and I'm sure you have hammering them too. So it's just you take your time out of your day, and we really appreciate that, you know what I mean? So
it's good to hear, man, we appreciate that comment.
Second that. Yeah, thanks guys.
It's we always say it. Well, me and old Dan always used to say, we don't do this for y'all. We do this for us. And he was referencing, we do it because we get so much awesome information from you guys that we have on. I mean, we get to talk to literally every top-notch tournament angler in the country at any given time. And we get all sorts of great information out of you. But I mean, Paddle and Fin's been around since before the podcasting boom in kayak fishing. We're kind of the OG at it, you know, and it is, it's just, that's what we're here for, is just push the sport forward, get it to as many people. That's why, you know, for anybody that's listened to this that don't know, we have other shows segments. We've got a segment in fishing for just about everybody. We have kayak hunting segments. So we're just here for y'all. We're here to support, you know, kayaking as much as we can, kayak fishing, these tournament guys that are trying to get to a point to make a living doing this. So, but again,
yeah, I was going to say, if you ever make it up north and you want to go up to Ontario, hit me up when you're up in the area. Like I said, we'll take you up and you'll fall in love with the drop shot. Definitely. I promise you that.
Man, I don't know if I'd come home. Like, if I'm ever throwing back 3 and 4 pound smallmouth because they just aren't the ticket,
yeah.
I have died of a massive stroke and went to heaven. Because that's all that would feel like.
That'll happen to you, especially September. September up there is special. It's cold and you got to watch the wind, but man, it is fire. Like it's unreal.
All right, I'm canceling my beach trip this year. I'm going to Ontario instead.
Yeah. I'm going northbound.
Well, guys, we appreciate it so much, and thank y'all again for taking the time out to come hang out with us and talk about it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see you again. We try and keep up with everybody throughout the year, so hopefully we'll have you back on for the year's over with, man. So good luck at y'all's next events, and we'll see you then.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Good luck to your event, too, at Gunnersville.
We appreciate it. We're going to need all the help we can get.
Yeah, we'll see you there, Casey. Hopefully.
Hope to see you there.
Awesome, guys. Y'all have a good night. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's good stuff.
It is.
That would look like it was an awesome event. I mean, they had tons of 20-inch fish, 19 to 20-inch fish all over the place. 18 to 20-inch fish too.
It's crazy to see Old Town stacking the leaderboard up like that. You know, we've seen it, you know, go through periods where it seems like everybody that was winning was in a Hobie, and then I know the new canoe guys ran the train in the KBF for a while. And the Hobie, Cody Milton, when he was in his Pursuit, you know, you couldn't stop him for a little while. Derek Brundle and Matthew Conant. They all have it, but I don't think any of them have been as dominant as what Old Town did this weekend. And I don't care what it doesn't matter which national trail it was that it happened in. One company, 5 sponsored anglers, and 1 manufacturer took home 5 of the 6 pieces of hardware. So,
well, isn't Ryan Nye, that was, didn't he win the last KBF trail?
Yeah.
And he's also in an Old Town. Yeah.
Old Town showing out.
Yeah.
They've got it where it counts.
Yeah.
But so another great event. Definitely puts Lake Murray. This, I know we've done Lake Murray shows before, but this one, talking to these guys, put it more on my radar than talking with any of the other past. Yeah.
I was looking at their, you're going to hear a lot about Lake Murray this year. I mean, I was looking at their tournament schedule, and I think they have the MLF Pro Series circuits going there. The Bassmaster Elites are going there. They got like the BFLs. They got BFLs going there too.
And all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
So they're going to have all kinds of good big events.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to keep it on the radar and, you know, maybe go dabble that way. I know we've got some friends of the paddle and fin world out there. Might have to go bum a couch, bum a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
That's another great thing about doing this podcast, Schiller and Garrett, is we will eventually have a place to stay everywhere.
Yeah.
Like when I saw Susky got thrown back on the board, hit up Sean, said, "Hey, I'm first dibs on spare room in your house." And he was like, "You." So bam, ain't got to pay for nothing on that trip.
Now it sounds like we got to make a trip to Ontario or something.
That one's been on my radar for a while. I just don't talk about it. We had it on the Ontario Kayak Bass Club, I think is the club that's up there. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was a fully Canadian show. If you love how Canadians talk, I did my greatest job of not sounding like that or mimicking that at all. I was very professional and very proud of myself. But we got talking about the fishing up there, and that was like what opened my eyes to the waters up that way. You know, before then I was like, they don't fish for bass and up there. Like you cross the border, they fish for trout. Like that's it, you know, just like trout and salmon. Like but
you could argue that they have some of the best bass fishing in the country at certain times of the year.
For sure. I mean, they're throwing back 4-pound smallmouth.
Yeah.
Second to nothing. But just another quick recap. As everybody's heard already, we'll just hit it again. Casey Reed with the day one win and the 2-day double up win. Ryan with the day two win. Big shout out to our teammate, mine and your teammate, Jimmy McClurkin. He had a really good show in fourth place day one, eighth place day two, and got second place in the double up. So congrats, Jimmy. Good job, man. And I do have a few tournaments to go over.
He's also leading the AOY
now. Oh, yeah. I can't believe I forgot to mention that. I told you that. But, yeah, he's holding down the KBF AOY right now, so we wish him luck.
Yeah, and, keep it up.
He's a pretty consistent guy in the KBF, so I think he's had a good enough start that he might be able to make something happen the rest of the year. He had some shoulder problems last year, had to have some surgery. And, I remember he fished the KBF NC basically, like...
in a sling.
he was still supposed to be in the sling, and... But we'll keep an eye on him too, as well as these other guys. But we had some other tournaments. Got a few to hit here. First up, we had the Tennessee Bass Nation event on Chickamauga with 94 anglers. Garrett, you did awesome at that one, didn't you?
No. Yeah, I did. I had made some bad decisions during the event, and it cost me.
Well, you had a bass boat roll into your spot before you got there. That's not really your fault.
Yeah, but I mean, I probably should have went back. But at that time, I was so committed to it because it was like 4 miles from the ramp that I was like,
"I want you to keep that in mind when you think about what we're doing this weekend."
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was like. Oh God, I hope it does not happen again 2 weekends in a row.
But yeah, so they had 94 anglers show up for that one. Luke Graham took first with 99 inches, very impressive. Second place, Joby
all
Berry.
Smallmouth.
96 and a half. He was all smallmouth too, as well, right?
First and second, all smallmouth.
On chick. Then
fourth and then was also all smallmouth.
Jesus. And then rounding out third place was our very own Randall Wallace. Took the drive up there, got 93 and a half, all largemouth.
Yeah, I fished the same ramp as him, and he said he'd never been there before, or the second time there, he'd never been to that spot, and he just was going to fish and
whacking.
Wore him out. So, figures. Yeah, so, I was like, well, it sounds like you figured it out.
So TVKA was also on that lake with the Tennessee Bass Nation, 52 anglers for that with a 3-fish limit. First place, Will Miller with 56 and 3/4. Second place, Bob Donahoe. Donahoe with 55. Third place, Chris Walters with 53 and a quarter. Moving on from there, we have the Georgia Kayak Fishing League. Georgia Kayak Fishing League on Lake Okanoe and Sinclair, 34 anglers with a 5-fish limit. First place, Mike Watson with 87 inches. Second place, I'm gonna screw that one up. Yeah. 85 and a half inches. I'm gonna end up swearing. Which, I mean, I do that anyway. So, the third place, Rick Johnson with 82 inches. Moving on from there, we got the North Texas Kayak Championships, Lake Granbury. 92 anglers, 5-fish limit.
Here's what we're seeing. Here we go. I knew Texas was going to already be showing out. First place, Aaron Page, 98.5 inches. Second place, Christian Cooper with 96.5 inches. Third place, Dan Wells with 95. Yep. Next up, another Texas event, the Texas Kayak Bass League on Austin and Lady Bird. 115 anglers. First place, Ramos Perez with 94.5. Second place, Tony Sebrin with 92.75. Third place, Dustin Hicks with 92.5. Just to show you some of the fish that Texas produces, which no one's questioning what kind of fish they have. Yeah. Jared Parker, that was in fifth, had a 23. Jacob Moeller had a 24.25. Ricky Ulig had a 24.25. And John Wington had the 23.25. So the donkeys in Texas are moving around.
Yeah, they're on the move.
Few more left. We've got the Foothills Kayak Anglers event on Lake Rotus, Hickory, and Lookout. 56 anglers, three fish limit. First place, Austin Vang with 52.75. Second place, Mark Wilkins with 52.25. Third place, Tony Vixiesack with 48.75. Next event, the Arizona Bass Nation qualifier on Saguaro Lake, 33 anglers, five fish limit. And this was a tough one. First place was Bennett Shulkin with 70.5 for five fish. Think back, Ryan had 73 with four.
Yeah.
And Bennett was the only angler to catch a limit in the tournament. Second place was Mario Yalaviz with 63, and third place Lance Engel with 46.5. So that was a grinder. And I haven't heard of that one. We cover the Arizona Bass Nation stuff or Arizona fishing. And I haven't heard that lake before. There were only 35 fish caught in that whole tournament with 33 anglers. So that's something.
Yeah, that's a little rough. I mean,
here's another event.
I don't know if it maybe was condition wise or just that lake. So I don't know that lake, but.
So there was another event out there, the Kayak Anglers Association of Central Arizona, same lake, had 45 anglers with five fish limit. First place, Ramon Rana with 77.5. Second place, Bennett Shulkin with the 70.5. And third place was Mario Galavez with 63. 53 fish caught in that tournament. Same time, had a few more people.
Yeah.
First and second were the only two to catch a limit, but one of the guys we're hearing these, you know, small bags, which typically is a lot of smaller fish. William Rowan 15th caught a 23.75. So the big ones are there. They just weren't playing. So
yeah,
it makes like me lead more to a conditions tough. Thing. Yeah. But, and then last up, the California Soleil Nation Kayak Series on McClear Lake in LaGrange, California, 40 anglers, five fish limit. First place, Max Lee with 86.25. Second place, Damian Tao. It's in California. He's going to cash a check. That's how it works out there. 84.75. And third place, David Morris with 80.5. And, here we go. Here's a little bonus nugget. There was a kayak tournament in Kuwait.
What?
Let me see if I can get it to pull up.
What were they fishing for?
I don't know. I'm going to find out. So they were trying to see. So it was in Sabiha, Kuwait. 5 days. Three species. They were fishing for tiger tooth croaker, spangled emperor, and brim. And it's in centimeters. So I have no idea how to convert that because I'm stupid.
Convert it to American.
No. Take a guess. we're going to say this fish on here is probably about 14. Hold on. I'm going to share the screen, show you what one of these looks like.
What is it? A tiger tooth croaker? Is that what you said?
Yes. It looks kind of like a trout, like a speck. Yeah. So that's the tiger tooth croaker. And then we have the spangled emperor that's upside down. Cool. So that's a really cool looking fish. I'm assuming so.
I like the fish monkey American gloves that he had on.
Yeah, I like it too. That's really good looking fish. Huh. And then brim. Dude, even the brim looks like rude. The thing looks like aggressive. Look at the fins, the dorsal fin.
So when are we going to Kuwait to fish for these?
I'm down. These look awesome. That's a pretty fish.
Is that inches on the bottom?
I
think it is.
Oh, that is.
So about 18 and a quarter, 18 and a half. That's 47 centimeters. I see a lot of Hobies in these pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the most common international brand.
Hey, I know what that one is. That is a Hoodoo. Hmm. These are cool fish. I know I'm stuck on this. We should be ending the show, but these are cool. Appreciate my wife for throwing that little nugget in there. That's actually really cool. Kayak tournament in Kuwait. Awesome. Well, that about wraps it up. Anything else you want to touch on? Ready to get to Gunnersville?
Yeah, ready to get to Gunnersville. Get Chickamauga off my palate. Cleanse my palate of that.
You need to, and you need to leave all that bad juju at home, because I'm already not confident in this tournament right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll be going down there Thursday, so when this posts, I'll be driving down there probably. Then try to check out the lake and see what's going on. I mean, I'm expecting it to start warming. I've already heard of bedfish getting caught on the lake right now.
Figures.
So
that's why I want to go down there right now, like tomorrow. I just want to catch some bedfish. Yeah. But then again, it's like, I don't want to catch the bedfish because I need those fish.
I mean, we can go to another spot that's not where we're going to fish and go catch bedfish.
I mean, we could go back to where I went Sunday because I know a lot of folks are going to fish that. We'll just go out there and
go catch as many as possible.
For anybody that listens to the show, if you see me, listens to the show, if you see me out there, please don't kick my ass. I'm totally talking shit. I'm not going to come sore lip anybody's fish. And I'm too old to fight fair. I'm just going to shoot you in the kneecap. So it probably wouldn't work out well for you if you plan on pedaling in that tournament. But yeah, another good show. Thanks everybody for tuning in to this show. A great one with the winners from Lake Murray. Another great KBF event next week. You know, you can probably guess it. We're going to cover the winners from the Bassmaster event. 235 anglers signed up for that one. And then there's a local tournament that's up to 55 on it. And probably only 10 people of that tournament, maybe 15, are in the Bassmaster. So they'll be pushing 260, 265 anglers just in kayaks, tournament fishing Gunnersville this week. So we'll have a good show for you next week. But yeah, till then, peace out. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Good night.